Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
Hello, everybody. I'm Gloria Copeland, and welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Kelly Swisher's with us today, and she's got some more good things for us.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mama. Kelly, for coming to teach us today.
We had so much fun last week.
We did. I enjoyed it very much.
I tell you what, I've had so much fun this last year because I told y'all that last week. I call it cleaning my clock. The Lord's been cleaning my clock. Everything works better when it's cleaned out.
Absolutely.
Your car, your clock, your
house.
Life, your house, your everything. Your purse, we talked about yesterday, our purse being cleaned out. And it's just been so wonderful, Mom. And I find that the more God does in your life, the more excited you are to tell other people about Him. In fact, last week we talked about the woman at the well, and man, Jesus read her mail at the well, but she got so excited, and she went to the village and she told them all. And I think, you know, when she got to the well and she was talking with Jesus, there was some hesitancy to delve into her private life. But by the time he just talked to her a little bit and opened up her heart to him, she goes running in the village and said, "There's a guy that knows everything I ever did." Yeah. And it didn't seem like she had any shame.
She did some advertising.
She did. And that whole village wanted him so badly that he stayed 2 days. I thought that you know, it's interesting that Jesus will only stay where He's wanted.
Oh, absolutely. Well, He's wanted here.
He is wanted here. And if He's wanted in your life, He'll stay with you. I mean, He'll stay with you if He's in your heart. But, I mean, He'll keep working with you.
Well, you have to let Him. I mean, He won't force His way in.
Especially in this soul area that we've been talking about. We've been talking about your soul, about opening up your soul to Jesus, the humility of that. We'll talk about that some more this week. But I wanted to start this week off with the same scripture that we read quite a bit last week, because it's the one where He started me off just to begin to develop in some things that I was unaware of. I think when you pray something like this, of course, the Word is filled up, Mom, as you know, with scriptures that will grab your heart. Or a certain scripture that if you stand on that, you open a door to things that you don't even know can come from standing on that one scripture. But He needs a entry into our lives to be able to do some of the big things that He wants to do. And so in Psalm 19, and I'll read from the New Living mostly today, but in Psalm 19 it says in verse 12, "How can I know all the sins lurking in my heart?" And you know, in verse 7, it says, the instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul.
Mm-hmm.
Our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. Sure. And I believe right here, when it's talking about the heart, I believe it's talking about that area, your core, your not your spirit, man, but your mind, your will, and your emotions. It says, "Cleanse me from these hidden faults." And those are not like it's your fault or my fault, blame type fault, but weak place. Cleanse me from these weak places. And of course, you know, everybody knows about the San Andreas fault or different faults in the earth, that those weak places, those cracks in the earth, faulty places are what cause earthquakes, what cause difficulty, because they shift and they move and they're unreliable. Well, we have those places in ourselves. And He says here, how can I know those things? They're hiding. But through asking the Lord, asking Jesus to show them to you, He will do it so gently. He will just do a surgery on you. You know, nobody really wants the light shined in areas of their life that they don't want anybody to see. But when He shines that flashlight into your heart, He doesn't do it with condemnation. We're going to really hit on that
That's
today.
That's good. That's
He
good.
Does it with love, and He does it not because He just wants you have to measure up. He does it because He loves you, and He wants these things. This verse says, "Don't let them control me." These things that can be hidden in our soul, whether they're hurt or old ways of thinking or being judgmental or having been judged, unforgiveness, all these things can control us and lead us to act certain ways. And this says, then I will be free of guilt and innocent of great sin. So when we let the Lord into our heart to see these things, He'll cleanse us.
Yes, amen.
And we just can get free. And really,
Mom,
be quick
to listen and quick to repent, quick to change.
Isn't that, and it's such a free life. You know, a lot of people view being a Christian as just a bunch of rules.
No,
and they think, you know, God says all these things just because He wants to be boss or be bossy. But He is in charge. He is boss.
He is the one that knows everything after all.
He doesn't need to prove it. But if we want to have benefit of that life that He wants for us, we need to let Him be in charge.
That's
because
right.
He's leading us not towards rules and all that. He's leading us to freedom. It might sound like rules, but it's leading to freedom. And He loves us so much. So it's exciting to discover these things. And I don't know, He's just been
so good to me. Well, everything, you see here, it all comes down to this little thing. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free.
It will make you free.
So that's what happens when you get in the Word. You find the truth. And if you'll let it talk to you and change you, it's all the time trying to make you free.
It's
all the time trying to clean things out that's holding you back, stopping your prayers from working, whatever it is, unforgiveness, whatever it is, God wants you to be able to receive.
And you're
and
right.
And faith
he's
works
always
by love. So that goes together.
That's
faith
right.
works by love. You can't be a faith person if you don't have love. You might say the right things, but if you don't have love, it's not working.
And you know, if you believe He loves you, it's easier to have faith. So faith is a love is the mechanism by which faith works.
That's right.
And you mentioned that. I'm going to talk about that a little bit, that He whom the Son sets free. Mm-hmm. But let's go to Matthew 11.
Okay.
And just want to hit on a spot. We hit on it already, but in Matthew 11, he says in verse 28, and I'd love for you to go get the background and all that we've already said about these things. You can go to kcm.org and watch up to today's broadcast from last week, and I believe it'll bless you. But I wanted to read this again. It says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls." And the New Living says, "Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life." Isn't that good?
Oh, that's good.
This is the Message Bible. "I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it." He wants us to watch Him and learn from Him how He did. Well, we've talked last week about humility is the way He goes to the Father. When His soul was troubled, He is honest about that to the Father. And He says, "My soul is troubled." So He says, "Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. You'll learn to live freely and lightly." He says, "I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you." You know, we can keep company with Him. We can walk alongside Him with Him showing us things and cleansing us of things. But to do it, we got to do what He does.
Roll your care over on the Lord.
And that's humility. It may not sound like humility, but it is humility to give Him your stuff.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
So He says He will ease.
If you come to a place in your life and you're worried, concerned, unduly concerned, worried, you know you're carrying the care. And you know you're not in faith. You cannot worry and be in faith. It's impossible.
It is impossible.
If you believe you receive the answer, you can walk in love and happiness and joy. Because why? You believe you receive the answer, so your faith's working.
It's true. I came to y'all you probably don't even remember. It was over a year ago. I came to y'all and I was supposed to do TV with Dad, actually, and my whole face, my everything was all broken out, like not like broken, but exploded like some sort of reaction. And I went over for y'all to pray over me, and Dad goes, Kelly, you're carrying the care. And I'm like, I don't feel like I'm carrying the care. Did that sound like somebody carrying the care? I said, I thought I rolled it over to the Lord, but... So in my mind, I thought, I'm not carrying the care. So I got home and I prayed about it. And the Lord's like, yeah, you're carrying the care. And I realized through, I said, well,
you have to be honest with
yourself. You did. Well, you have to be honest with God.
That's right.
And that's what Jesus was. And that's what he's saying in that humility, to come to him like that. Really, you know, we don't go to God like we got all our stuff together. He knows we don't have all our stuff together.
That's right.
But we go to him in that humility to receive. We go in a position to receive. I'm not seeing that note right here right now, but I had, the Lord was showing me some things the other day, and he said, any area that you have not, you're not walking with him in it, you're walking by yourself if you've not given it to him, whether it's finances.
You're still carrying it.
You know, I heard a guy say on a Christian program, and it was on a Christian channel, and he said, I'm sure he thought it was humble to say this, but he said, I don't need God to make me rich. I mean, he was being critical of prosperity and prosperity preacher. He goes, I don't need God to make me rich. I thought, you know, even if I felt like I could do something on my own, Jesus said he can't.
Right.
I can do nothing of my own. So while that might sound humble, it's exactly the opposite. It's pride to not give that area to God.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's that or
that's
in your
like
worship.
That's like saying, I don't need God for healing.
No.
Yeah, you do.
You need him for everything.
That's right.
And the more you just decide that's true, the better success in your life you'll have.
That's right.
And so
that's a good point.
The people have a hard time sometimes with they call it the grace message. You know, it's just the message. It's just the message of the Bible. It's an awesome message. But
the
they want to say...
message.
Well, they want to say, you know, how can... If you're not doing exactly what the Word says, how can you have grace? Well, it boils down to this. It's not that... Grace would not hold anything back from you. But your own believing can push things away where you don't walk in those. Because the Bible says it's by faith that it might be by grace.
Yeah.
And it's not by grace that it might be by faith. So it's not that free gift and then you believe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you do have to have faith in the grace. So the Bible talks about, you know, when we aren't doing the things he says to us, our heart can condemn us.
Sure.
Our soul can say, you're not going to get that. You're not going to get that healing because you've been smoking. That's what your soul can tell you. So it's your soul that can stop the grace because your soul can keep you from believing in the grace.
Sure. You don't have boldness before the Lord.
Yeah. So if you're not walking, I mean, God will heal a smoking smokestack from cancer, just like that, if you'll believe. So it's not God holding back. The grace is there. But the more cleansed we get our soul and the more right we get our life, the quicker those things work in us. They're meant to work.
It's That's right.
Miracles are God's idea,
That's
not
right.
ours.
That's right.
You know, so the more he can get us to get it in our heart
with
and
him.
Believe, then we can walk in it. So Jesus, we need to learn of him and go to God the Father the way he went to... No, go to him the way he went to the Father. So I want to... Let me see where I want to go with this, Mom, because I want to hit all this today. So that we have to be humble. We have to come to him. He wants us to.
He
wants to take care of all those things for us. So look at...
Jesus is Lord.
He wants to
take that place.
Look at John 8, and I am going to read, it's a long story. I'm going to read it from the Message for you. John 8,
Okay, John 8.
And, you know, remember this is when the religious scholars and the Pharisees brought in this woman who had been caught in an act of adultery. And, you know, religion hurts people who are not. Religion is hurtful to people who are imperfect. People who are struggling, which is everybody. Religion, they brought her in to be made shamed.
Yeah.
And they really brought her in to trick Jesus. But he turned it around on them. He always turns it around on shame. He is not into shame. So we all know this story. He turned it back around on them, and he said, the sinless one among you, throw the first stone. So they all went away. And it says that the woman was left alone. Jesus stood up and spoke to her, "Woman, where are they? Does no one condemn you?" She says, "No one, Master." And he says, "Neither do I." So there's no condemnation in here. When you let him into your world, we talked last week about letting him into, you know, it's like not letting your company into your laundry room when you've thrown all your junk in there. Or I pulled out my great big purse, you know, don't want anybody to see inside your purse. But he says, "Go your way." He said, "From now on, don't sin." I mean, that's the ease with which we can live with him. So then he addressed them. This is what I wanted to get to. He says, "I'm the world's light. No one who follows me stumbles around in the darkness." So if you come to him, if you follow him, he says, "I provide plenty of light to live in." He provides the light. You know, you don't have to know everything.
Walk in the light.
You don't have to clean it all up to come to Jesus. He wants you to come just the way you are. The Pharisee said, this is bizarre, but we have this attitude too sometimes when we argue with Jesus and how simple the deliverance is in him. It says, the Pharisees objected, "All we have is your word on this."
What verse is that? That?
This is in the Message.
In the Message.
It says, "All we have is your word on this. We need more than this to go on."
Oh, no.
But isn't that the attitude that people can have? Well, you know, in the Message, they don't really, give you all the... This whole thing is 1 through 38. But he says, "You're right, you only have my word, but you can depend on it being true."
That's right.
He says, "I know where I've come from and where I go next." But you know what? He knows where you've come from, and he knows where you need to go next.
Praise God.
He says, "You don't know where I'm from or where I'm headed. You decide." This is really important, Mom. "You decide according to what you can see and touch."
Your feelings.
And as long as we live our life deciding based on those things, what you can see, what you can touch, circumstances, how you feel, it really is what you see and how you feel. We're going to be ineffective. And he is not going to be able to lead us, and we're not going to take his word on this, as he's saying. He says, "I don't make judgments like that, but if I did, my judgment would be true because I wouldn't make it out of the narrowness of my experience." See, if we make decisions just out of a soul that's not been renewed, we make it out of the narrow experience that we have and not the broadness of what God has for us. He says, "I make decisions in the largeness of the one who sent me, the Father." He says, "That fulfills the conditions set down in God's laws that you can count on the testimony of two witnesses." And he says, "That's what you have. You have my word and the word of the Father that sent me."
That's good. Walk in the light.
They said, "Where is this so-called father of yours?" You know what I see here is that no matter what he had said right there, they would have found some comeback. Mm-hmm. They would have found some argument. If you find yourself always coming back with an argument, then that's something in your soul
you're not
that you need to turn over.
You're not receiving what he says.
No condemnation here. We just want you to walk in this freedom he's talking about. He says, "You're looking right at me and you don't see me. How do you expect to see the Father?" He gave this speech in the treasury while teaching in the temple.
Now, what message? What translation?
This is the Message. "No one arrested him because his time wasn't up. But he went over the same ground again." He's patient.
Thank the Lord he's patient. Thank you, Jesus.
"I'm leaving and you're going to look for..." Listen to this, Mom. "But you're missing God in all this. How much of our day and our life are we missing God and His largeness, as it says? You're headed for a dead end. There's no way you can come with me. The Jews didn't understand that. It says, is he going to kill himself? Is that what he means by you can't come with me? But Jesus says, you're tied down to the mundane. And I want to connect these. He says, you're missing God. And he says, there's no way you can come with me, which he wants us to come to him and follow him, right? Mm-hmm. But he says, there's no way if you're tied down to the mundane. If you're tied down to your daily life, we can't come to him. He says, I'm in touch with what's beyond your horizon. You live in terms of what you see and touch. I'm living on other terms. But he's offering us those terms. He's offering us to live on other terms.
Oh,
he says,
you,
I told you you were missing God in all this. If he says, you're at a dead end. If you won't believe I am who I said I am, you're at the dead end of sin and you're missing God in your lives. And he goes on to say, if you don't believe in me, then none of this I say matters. If we don't believe,
if you don't receive his
if
word,
you don't, yeah, none of it matters. What he did even doesn't matter in your life.
You're not taking it.
And it says, Jesus turned to the Jews who claimed to believe in him. If you stick with this, living out what I tell you, amen, you're my disciples for sure. Then you will experience for yourselves the truth, and the truth will make you free.
That's right.
And in the
ask me how I know.
I know. And it says that he whom the Son sets free is free indeed,
yes,
free in truth. And that's what we're here talking about last week and this week. And Psalm 32, I hope to start with that tomorrow. So, oh, what joy for those whose sins are forgiven.
Praise God. Amen. That's good, Kelly. Great. Kelly and I'll be right back.
We hope you enjoyed this teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.